Are we ready to have some hymns sung? I am ready to lead us in some hymns. And so while all of you are thinking of that favorite hymn that you would like to sing, I would like to draw our attention to hymn number 462 for us to sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." If we could sing verses 1 and 2, and then we'll take a hymn from the audience. Someone has one? 338. And would you like to go with 1 and 3? Where He Leads Me. Number 338. 1 and 3. Now, do we have another? Yes, yes. 144, This Is My Father's World. Always a favorite back in Sunday school. And so is 1 and 2 okay, or 1 and 3?
1 and 3.
1 and 3. So 144, this is My Father's World. Yes. 89. We're usually so far back in the book. It's nice to get these in the front of the book. 89 is joyful, joyful, we adore thee. How about 1 and 4? Oh, one, did you say 3? 4. 1 and 4. One more? Becky, did you have one? Shout out the number. What number? 509. Okay, this will be our last one. 509. 1 and 3. Thank you very much. Jesus, Savior, pilot me.
Roar, and the beating
much for that suggestion. And now we will continue in our service. Thank you very much for that beautiful song, Colleen. I'm glad Josh Groban, wasn't it? Popularized that song. It's a beautiful song. Good morning. My name is Susan Walmsley, and I welcome you to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. And it's so wonderful to see you all here today. It's our last Sunday in August, and so we have much to celebrate that we made it through August, so hear to that. I want to bring to your attention that we're still celebrating the August birthdays, and You know who you are. If you're here, I think I see some of you. Wave to us so we know the people who are viewing us from our internet can see that you are here. That's wonderful. Thank you. We have a nice list in August. I hope Dale is feeling better, too. I see his name. Hopefully his birthday's been enjoyable in spite of his injury. And next, I'd like to announce that we have our movie, which is September 2nd at 11 a.m., the movie I Still Believe. And this is the true life story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that proves there is always hope when we trust in God's provision. So join us in Faith Theater 2 on September 2nd for that. And then we also have the sign-up list out in the narthex. And when I had first walked in, there wasn't one name on the list. So we know that that will be improved upon as we go through the next couple of Sundays. You still have a couple of weeks to sign up. As you see, that's going to be held September 20th at the Legion 8 China Restaurant in Cala Mesa. The cost is $15 per person, and a good amount of food, as I've seen from the pictures, is provided. So I don't believe anyone goes home hungry. If you need transportation, please contact Pastor Phillips or make a call to the church office, and Lauren can make note of that and ensure that you have transportation to that luncheon on September 20th. That's a Wednesday, so don't forget. Off to your right. Sorry, I'm challenged. And off to my left is the Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoebox for children in the fellowship hall. Suggestion lists for boys and girls aged 2 to 4, 5 to 9, and 10 to 14 are provided. And if you would please also include a $10 cash donation in each box, and this helps to cover costs, I believe, that are associated with the mailing. Boxes are due November 5th, so what a worthy cause to help those who have less. And we also have Hearts Grow. This is the fourth Sunday, so the second and fourth Sundays, Hearts Grow. Children can come in before this sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. This is held in the children's church room, a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to connect us to the Creator. So if you're feeling a little weary before the sermon and decide you need another connection to the Creator, then I would encourage you to go to Hearts Grow. And next, we're continuing with the Chosen, and we will see that again today, and another edition of that today. 11 o'clock, food is being provided. We need 3 people each time to sign up for the food, so if you would like to be the person responsible for that food, be sure and sign up for that. That helps to assist with the feeding of the group who do choose to stay for the Chosen. And the last episode is October 1. So the Chosen. Are there any other announcements? Then I would like us to prepare our hearts and minds for our service. And if you will stand as you are able, and join me in the call to worship. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve.
To give and not to count the cost. To fight and not to heed the wounds.
To toil and not to seek for rest. To labor and not to ask for any reward.
Except that of knowing that we do your will.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now if you'll continue standing and sing, I will sing of my Redeemer. Passing of the peace while you're still standing. If you'll turn around and say hey to all those that are near to you and wish them a good day. Peace be with all of you. Peace be with you, Pastor.
Peace be with you, Susan.
Don't forget, Kathy's up in the balcony. We can say hey to Kathy. And we have a good showing coming from the internet. I see April's joining us on the internet, or April and Bill, hopefully. And yes, and Bill. David's out there. Helen's out there. Hi, Helen! She's waving at us. Peace be with you, Helen. And June, and I forget who's with June.
Ellen is always faithful to come to worship via Zoom, even though she is up in Chico. So glad to see you, Helen. And our faithful partner, June and Joyce, are there. Joyce. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you. And Bill and April. April has a background with, is that a school bus and
London.
The wheel?
I think it's London. London's iconic two-story bus and Big Ben.
Right. Is April in London now?
I don't know, but I'll bet she can tell us. I see her beeping up there, so she's trying to say something to us.
Well, anyway.
That's April talking, and she's not muted. Right.
Now she is. But we can't hear you, April, until we're done with the sanctuary, and then we'll let you talk.
Yes. We'll catch you in a minute, April.
Yeah.
So now then, that we've identified who all is here, let's go ahead and have any sharing of joys and concerns. We want to pray for those who need prayers, whether it's a joy or a concern.
I have to say, a couple Sundays ago when I asked, you know, if everyone could just take one outfit and bring it to go to the container to Maui, it made me think of the part in the Bible where there was two fish and five loaves. We had so many clothes that I have to tell you, it literally broke my heart. We went through and separated the clothes, and what could be taken in the container to Hawaii went. The rest of it, we left it here in our city to help our people. Some went to the high school for kids that need clothes. The others went to family assistant. And I have to tell you, our truck was packed with clothes.
Good.
Very nice.
And I have to tell you, I thank you literally from the bottom of my heart. I never dreamt that there'd be that much stuff collected, that, you know, it really is going to a lot of people that need help. And like I said, what couldn't go to Hawaii stayed right here in Yucaipa, to help individuals here, because there are people that need our help. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
I've also got a joy. You've all seen the newscast about all the flooding down in the desert, the mud flows and everything. We have a place in the desert, in Palm Desert. We go there every week. We didn't go there this week, but we found out from the people that run the complex where we live that the only thing that happened at our place is they had to shut down the golf course for last Monday because all the debris on there from the winds, we had no flooding or mud flow. So we feel very blessed. We've still got a place to go to in the desert. Thank you.
I've never been to Hawaii, but I'm happy that somebody's gonna wear my socks walking on some streets in Hawaii.
Something of you will get there. I have a joy that we're going to my grandson's 6th birthday party this afternoon, so I'm hoping for safe travels and no traffic, because then we're coming back to see The Sound of Freedom tonight. Rachel, Destiny, Paul, and I are going. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a hard one to watch, but it's an important one to watch because it's all based on a true story. So go check that out if you can.
I'd like to encourage you to come to the You may not stay through the movie, but come to the luncheon. You are going to have a chicken salad, croissant. You can make sandwich out of it. You're going to have a Caesar salad and then kale salad.
Wonderful.
Make
Pastor
sure you
Phillips
finish them.
The food this week,
I'm not
so
taking them back home,
food.
So make sure you finish them all.
I'd like continued prayers for my brother, Matthew. He has been moved to a care facility, Brookside Health Center. And, you know, you go to those places and you think, oh, my God. But this one, actually, I'm quite impressed with. The staff is very friendly. They seem to be very attentive, and he seems to be getting really good care. He's going to still be on antibiotics 4 times a day intravenously until September 26th.
Oh, wow.
So he has a long road to hoe, but he's getting a little bit better. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alita Kirker, and I have a joy and a concern. As you know, my brother died a few months ago, and my nieces were able to finally accept a bid on his mobile home so they don't have to continue paying the rent. And we hope everything goes well, so prayers for that. I also have a concern and ask for prayers for a good friend of mine named Rita Tacker. She and her husband flew overseas, I believe, to Bangkok, where they promptly caught COVID. They're seniors, and so they're both down and resting, but I pray because they're such dear friends, and we want them to come out ahead of that.
And I have one more joy to share here, and that's that Ismael Pantaleon, our magician, came to Parents Night Out and gave the kids a stellar magic show. They absolutely loved it, and it was wonderful, and we are really grateful that he could come and do that for us. So look for pictures on the announcements, and you can look for pictures in the newsletter that comes out next week, and thank you. You'll have to talk to him. He can give you a card.
I have a joy. This past weekend, my best friend, who I've known since second grade, and she lives in Virginia. Well, she was out here. Her older sister had died, and so her brother-in-law was having a memorial service. And anyway, I was invited. It was just Ruthie and her mother, her sister Peggy, and me, and David. But five of us, we got together and had lunch and got to visit. And Ruthie used to come out every 2 years because she was in charge of all the nurses in the Navy, and she had to go to all the stations on California, or the East Coast and the West Coast. And so every 2 years she came to California. She always came to see me, but now she's retired, so she doesn't come out at all, except she came out for her sister's memorial thing. So it was wonderful to see her, and I was grateful that I was invited.
And okay. Now maybe April will tell us what she's up to.
Unmute and go ahead, April.
April, do you want to tell us what you're
maybe,
doing?
Yeah, she's on that wheel going around.
Yeah, she's on that wheel. Okay. Oh, there she is.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes.
I was just playing around. I don't know what I've done with just the A that used to be there, but that's London, one of our favorite places to go. So, and we are home now from Bill's sister's memorial. It was a sad but a beautiful week. And thank you for your prayers for her.
Mm. Very nice. Very
glad
nice.
To know you're home safe. And just to, for me to back up just a second, because I was negligent in asking everybody to please sign in on your red pew pad, so that way we know who was here today. I would appreciate if you would do that. And likewise, there are prayer cards at the pews. If you didn't want to vocalize your prayer request, you're certainly welcome to place that on one of the blue prayer cards, and it can be put in the plate at the end of the service. And now I'm going to ask you to join me in the unison prayer. I'm going to wait just a second. Okay, it's clear? All right. Dear Lord Jesus, narrow-mindedness and self-centeredness often cause disturbance within us. Help us untangle ourselves from our devices and restore inner peace by yielding to your supreme design. Joy comes when we embrace the crosses given to us instead of turning away from them. May we deny ourselves and walk on the path, even if it may be the way of suffering. We are no longer ours, but yours. In your precious name, amen.
Let us remember all our loved ones, those who have just lost their homes by fire, and those who are going through various troubles in various places in life, and continue our prayers in silence. Lord Jesus Christ, you know us. You know everything about us. You know where we are in life. You know what we are going through, what we will face in the future. You know everything about us. So when we come, O Lord, we don't have to be agonized over what to bring to you, what to bring to your attention. We just give ourselves as we are and give all our cares and worries, our concerns into your hand by trusting in your power, by trusting in your love and your grace. So we have come, O Lord, to you because you are our refuge. When we come to this place of worship, our refuge, we find peace. We find relief. We find the restoration of our soul. This is where we can be completely honest and be open to you so that you may come and touch our brokenness and heal us. So we have come and we offer ourselves as we offer our prayers to you. Lord, there's nothing we can hide from you. So we, with faith, ask you to make us whole once more. Remove all the darkness away from our lives. May our lives be filled with your light, that we may begin to see ray of hope. And with you, O Lord, we can meet all the challenges that this life brings to us, and we can overcome them all. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your sustaining presence. Thank you for your intervention. You change all the problems into the source of blessings, and you can work miracles when we do not see anything but problems. So, Lord, as we come to you, we believe in your power. We believe that you are going to intervene and show us the way that we can continue on. Even when we are so discouraged and feel like giving up. So we ask you to strengthen us, empower us once more as we worship you this morning. Our hearts are open to you, to your power, and to your Holy Spirit. We acknowledge our weakness, the frailty of life, but, O Lord, you have the power to strengthen us. So we rely upon you, O Lord, and ask you to nurture our spirit and recharge us of the energy we need There are moments when we question about your presence in life. But Lord, we have experienced your presence over and over, and we, by faith, know that you are our sovereign God. You have everything under your control. And to you, we submit ourselves once more and pray that you continue to fulfill your will upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, upon our communities, in our nations, and in the world today. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is Last Stop on Market Street. Words by Matt de la Peña. Pictures by Christian Robinson. CJ pushed through the church doors, skipped down the steps. The air outside smelled like freedom, but it also smelled like rain, which freckled CJ's shirt and dripped down his nose. He ducked under his Nana's umbrella, saying, "How come we gotta wait for the bus in all this wet?" "Trees get thirsty, too," his Nana told him. "Don't you see that big one drinking through a straw?" CJ looked for a long time, but never saw a straw. From the bus stop, he watched water pool on flower petals, watched rain patter against the windshield of a nearby car. His friend Colby climbed in, gave CJ a wave, and drove off with his dad. "Nana, how come we don't got a car?" "Boy, what do we need a car for? We got a bus that breathes fire, and old Mr. Dennis, who always has a trick for you." The bus creaked to a stop in front of them. It sighed and sagged, and the doors swung open. "What's that I see?" Mr. Dennis asked. He pulled a coin from behind CJ's ear, placed it in his palm. Nana laughed her deep laugh and pushed CJ along. They sat right up front. The man across the way was tuning a guitar. An old woman with curlers had butterflies in a jar. Nana gave everyone a great big smile and a good afternoon. She made sure CJ did the same. The bus lurched forward and stopped, lurched forward and stopped. Nana hummed as she knit. "How come we always gotta go here after church?" CJ said. "Miguel and Colby never have to go nowhere." "I feel sorry for those boys," she told him. "They'll never get a chance to meet Bobo or the Sunglass Man. And I hear Trixie got herself a brand new hat." CJ stared out the window, feeling sorry for himself. He watched cars zip by on either side. He watched a group of boys hop curbs on bikes. A man climbed aboard with a spotted dog. CJ gave up his seat. "How come that man can't see?" "Boy, what do you know about seeing?" Nana told him. "Some people watch the world with their ears." "That's a fact. Their noses, too," the man said, sniffing at the air. "That's a mighty fine perfume you're wearing today, ma'am." Nana squeezed the man's hand and laughed her deep laugh. Two older boys got on next. CJ watched as they moved on by and stood in back. "Sure wish I had one of those," he said. Nana set down her knitting. "What for? You've got the real like thing sitting across from you. Why don't you ask the man if he'll play us a song?" CJ didn't have to. The guitar player was already plucking strings and beginning to sing. "To feel the magic of music," the blind man whispered, "I like to close my eyes." Nana closed hers too. So did CJ and the spotted dog. And in the darkness, the rhythm lifted CJ out of the bus, out of the busy city. He saw sunset colors swirling over crashing waves, saw a family of hawks slicing through the sky, saw the old woman's butterflies dancing free in the light of the moon. CJ's chest grew full and he was lost in the sound, and the sound gave him the feeling of magic. The song ended and CJ opened his eyes. Everyone on the bus clapped, even the boys in back. Nana glanced at the coin in CJ's palm. CJ dropped it in the man's hat. "Last stop on Market Street," Mr. Dennis called. CJ looked around as he stepped off the bus. Crumbling sidewalks and broken down doors, graffiti-tagged windows and boarded up stores. He reached for his Nana's hand. "How come it's always so dirty over here?" She smiled and pointed to the sky. "Sometimes when you're surrounded by dirt, CJ, you're a better witness for what's beautiful." CJ saw the perfect rainbow arcing over their soup kitchen. He wondered how his Nana always found beautiful where he never even thought to look. He looked all around them again at the bus rounding the corner out of sight, and the broken street lamp still lit up bright, and the stray cat shadows moving across the wall. When he spotted their familiar faces in the window, he said, "I'm glad we came." He thought his Nana might laugh her deep laugh, but she didn't. She patted him on the head and told him, "Me too, CJ. Now come on." The end. May we always listen for the music and see the light and the beauty around us. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen.
Beautiful story, Deb. You always have a great selection for us to think on. And Hearts to Grow? Does any youngsters want to go out with Hearts to Grow? They don't bite, they have fun. And now, if you will please join in the singing of our hymn number 399. Take my life and let it be.
Thank you.
Scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 17 and verses 1 through 10. And I read, Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for sin are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If a brother or sister sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day, and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you. I mean, it happened before, like, you know, I usually print it out in the morning, and then sometimes I'm in a hurry and then forget to print. So one Sunday, we managed to print it out of the church office, going to the online. So. But anyway, I pray that, this is what goes on. I don't normally follow the lectionary. If you're familiar with what the lectionary is, you know, that's a reading of the scripture in a series that goes around the cycle, three-year cycle. And, a lot of pastors follow that lectionary reading. And I tried it when I was in Boston, and it didn't work for me. So, I what I do is I spend a lot of time in prayer. Thanks so much, Suja. And God always give me inspiration, and that's how I begin the process of preparing the message. And some of you may feel like, or all of you may feel like, I mean, how does he know what I'm going through? It's like you are speaking to me. It's not me, you know. It's not because, you know, I have this, you know, ways of knowing what you're going through in your life. I just don't know anything unless you tell me. But God gives me a message and happened to speak to me personally, and it happened to also speak to your heart as well. So that's how I prepare the message, and I pray that when you hear the message, it's not my message. It's the God's message given to me for my own benefit, but also for your benefit as well. And you know, I spend a lot of times to prepare the message, and you may hear the same message again, but I try not to repeat the same message. That's what I at least try. But sometimes, you know, God puts in my heart the same message that so that we can be reminded of the Word of God on particular places. But I pray that we will all hear the message from God given to us, all of us, on every Sunday morning when we come to worship. Comparing a person to an object is called the personification or anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism. Let me give you some examples of it. Children are compared with kites. Kites, you know, kites in the sky. You know why? Parents spend years trying to get them off the ground. And you know this expression, they are like sponges because they absorb everything going on around them. They are like wet cement. You know why? Whatever falls on them makes an impression. They are like a flower that needs a lot of attention and care, like a clay and whiteboard with countless potentials, and teachers would know all this. And they are like a butterfly that goes through different stages. And I see my children going through the stages, and you know, my son, the older one, Edward, did not have that, you know, typical phase of an adolescent period, and which we were really grateful. Jonathan had it, but you know what? My wife says these days to Edward, "You are a late bloomer. You behave like a teenager now." They go through different stages. Now, compare immature people with objects and try to find out the reasons behind. They are like wheels. You know why? They don't work unless they are pushed. Some people are like trailers. They have to be pulled. Some are like canoes. You know why? They have to be paddled. Some people are like footballs. You never know which way they are going to bounce next. Some people are like balloons, always puffed up, and you never know when they are going to blow up. Some people are like flat tires. You know why? They have to be jacked up. Now, Bible uses the personification as well. The Bible compares godless people with thorns, straw or chaff, wicked sprout, bad figs, whitewashed tombs. And faithful ones are compared with trees planted by the water, grapevine, not a source of, you know, rumors, but the vine of the grape. Branch of the grape. And gold. Why gold? Gold does not corrode and signifies believers' dependability and fidelity. People tend to follow the current of the world and sways accordingly. But the believers with the faith of gold remain faithful to God and His Word, regardless the current. which is very important today. The Word of God this morning has much to offer to the faithful and mature believers in Christ, those who have the faith of gold. If you have noticed, the gospel lesson this morning is titled, Some Sayings of Jesus. What is that kind of title? Some Sayings of Jesus. It has many different teachings in a paragraph. That's why it's Some Sayings of Jesus. But you know what I found is very interesting. Those various teachings are not some light sayings of Jesus, but very serious and high-level teachings that are difficult for new or immature believers to digest, but fit for mature Christians. All of those teachings actually can be threaded into one under the theme of Christian maturity. So let's look at the teachings through that lens. Firstly, a mature Christian vigilantly watches himself not to be a stumbling block to others. Jesus said, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. What did Jesus mean? Stumbling and being stumbled are unavoidable. It is sad, but, you know, people intentionally hurt others. But people also get hurt when there was no intention involved. Misunderstandings, miscommunications, and imperfect human nature can cause unintentional hurt. A mature Christian knows that sad reality and is very cautious if his action would end up being a stumbling block to others. Let me use the example of eating food sacrificed to idols that's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The Apostle Paul stated that there was nothing wrong with eating food sacrificed to idols because idol is nothing at all. God created everything, including the food offered to idols. So it's okay. It's part of God's creation. But some people did not have that knowledge. Eating the food given to idols could be a stumbling block for the weak without a proper understanding. For this reason, Paul said that he would rather not eat the food if his eating the food would cause a fellow believer to sin. When our conscience says nothing is wrong with our intentions and actions, we move right ahead, right? But to avoid becoming a stumbling block, we must be watchful and examine if our actions would mislead and discourage anyone. The second trait of Christian maturity is to tell it like it is. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. Now, this may sound contrary to our need to be watchful about the consequences of our actions and be considerate to others. This may also seem to contradict Jesus' word, do not judge, for you will be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Does it mean that we cannot judge at all? Consider other places in which Jesus used the same word, judge. In John 7, Jesus defended himself before the Jews and said, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by male appearances, but instead, judge correctly. In Luke 7, a sinful woman poured an expensive perfume on Jesus. Sensing what people were thinking, Jesus told a story about two people.
One owed 500 denarii and the other 50 denarii to a money lender. But both of debts were canceled. Jesus asked, which one would love the money lender more? Simon replied, the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And Jesus said there, you have judged correctly. So in those two places, Jesus endorsed a correct judgment. When Jesus said, do not judge, he did not mean not to judge at all. The word judge may be close to an action of condemning or misjudging. When people sin against us, what should be our action as mature Christians? You know, we usually go to that route, right? We don't want to judge. Should we forget about it? Should we just let go? Because rebuking is not an easy proposition. And we are not good at it either. But rebuking is not to boost our self-righteousness, but to save the soul and win him or her back to Christ. So rebuking is needed, even if we may not want to. Now, rebuking could end up damaging the relationship instead of repairing it. Therefore, it has to be done gracefully with the readiness to forgive. It was why Jesus phrased the action of rebuking and forgiving right next to each other in the text this morning. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Not once, but as many times as they repent. In Matthew 18, Jesus was more specific about how to handle sin in the church. He said, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, you know, that grace part in here, don't yet publicly announce it. Just deal with it personally so nobody knows, but just between you and the person who offended you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Then if they still don't listen, then tell the church. So there is a grace involved in rebuking. Again, rebuking and forgiving are very challenging tasks, even for a mature Christian. Thirdly, a mature Christian does not mean someone with a perfect faith. A mature Christian means that he is or she is mature enough to know his weakness and vast areas of growth. He's not shy about admitting his fledgling faith that is smaller than a mustard seed. He is keenly aware of great things the faith can do, like commanding a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, where the tree does not normally grow. He wholeheartedly relies upon God, the very source of his strength, and humbly and fervently prays to the Lord, increase my faith. Many believers remain stagnant, but a mature Christian constantly strives to grow. Lastly, Jesus gave an example of a mature Christian. The servant worked from sunrise until sunset for more than 8 hours in our terms,
and returned home, which may be understandable until that part. But his work was not done yet. His master demanded that existing servant to cook dinner and wait on him during the meal. And then the servant could eat. Worse yet, the master did not thank his servant. The servant can be regarded as a victim of a master who violated a labor law in worldly terms. There's a lot of injustice in there. But what happened? The servant did not complain and kept on serving the master. And this example of servanthood may not sound like good news, but it is. In Discipleship Journal, author Mark Stiles tells the story of how he led a young man from Sweden named Andreas to Christ. One part of their conversation is especially instructive. Andreas said, "I've been told if I decide to follow Jesus, he will meet my needs and my life will get very good." This seemed to Andreas to be a point in Christianity's favor. "But I face a temptation to make it sound better than it is." "No, Andreas, no," I said. Andreas blinked his surprise. "Actually, Andreas, you may accept Jesus and find that life goes very badly for you." "What do you mean?" he asked. "Well, you may find that your friend rejects you, you could lose your job, your family might oppose your decision. There are a lot of bad things that may happen to you if you decide to follow Jesus." "Andreas, when Jesus called you, he called you to go the way of the cross." Andreas stared at me and asked the obvious, "Then why would I want to follow Jesus?" Sadly, this is the question that stumps many Christians. For some reasons, we feel that unless we are meeting people's need, they won't follow Christ. Yet, this is not the gospel. I cocked my head and answered, "Andreas, because Jesus is true." Following Christ may seem too costly for immature believers. They may want to retreat to their comfort zone, but a mature Christian knows the cost of following Christ. He knows his call and diligently serves God. He often engages in ministry that consumes his energy. He may not find time for a break. People he serves may not know all his sacrifices, but he does not expect recognition, nor is he discouraged by lack of appreciation. His secret to keep on moving is his relationship with this master. He is forever grateful to the master for the cross that he carried on his behalf and the joy of salvation he gives. You know, I mean, at this point of my life, I shared this before, I have served the many different churches over 40 years and looking forward to my retirement. And, when I was in my youthful days, I thought, I am a great pastor. But you know what I'm thinking? thinking these days. I'm not so good at all. Have I done a really good job that edified the churches that I have served? Would God appreciate the way that I have served? I mean, I honestly question that. And I am grateful for the fact that I have been used even though I was unworthy. That's my honest feeling. And I mean it when I say it. So if we focus on, you know, oh, this is what I do, this is what I have done, see how much work and effort that I have poured into serving God and God's people, we can easily burn out. You know, think of that possible symptoms of burnout that the servant who walked all day out in the field during the day and still had to work felt. He would have been burned out, right? He would have been exhausted. He was restless. He didn't feel appreciated. He felt indifference from the master. He could have felt all those, but he didn't. Because he focused on his relationship with his master and how he was related to the master. And this is how we get mature. This is how we get out of this feeling of burnt out. If you ever feel exhausted and feel burnt out, the remedy to get out of it is found in your relationship and my relationship with your master and my master. Why is he our master? Because what he did on that cross. Amen.
Great message. Thank you for that. And we do appreciate you. Hear, hear. Amen.
Well, thank you.
And now it's time for our tithes and offerings, and we will have Austin Barrett sing Pass It On.
It takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time in spring, when all the trees are budding. The birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It it matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our needs. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power leads. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, we rededicate ourselves to you as we give this token of our commitment to you, to your people, and your church. Use us to be your disciples in the world today. Use this church to build your kingdom in this world today. Use us all that we may continue to glorify you in all we do. So with this offering, we commit ourselves to carry out your will in the world today, and we ask your blessing upon our offerings and upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And now if you'll join in singing our closing hymn, and that is number 530, Are Ye Able?
Triumphs to come.
commend your soul to God. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Be more than make us like thee divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Let us pray. So, Lord, we ask you to increase our faith. Always believe that even though we may be small and our power is little, but with you we can do great things. So empower us that we may continue to grow in faith, that we may be the builder of your kingdom wherever you have place in life. And we ask your blessing and your peace upon all of us as we depart this place of worship and go back to our realities. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh,